BBC, Holby City, starring Guy Henry as Hanson, Lashana Jolly as Elizabeth, Tina Hobley as Chrissy, and Hugh Quarshie as Rick. Keep On Keeping On, by Gillian Richmond. Previously.
What's got into you?
Marry me.
C minus, bordering on D for disappointment.
It's been a pleasure.
I thought you'd at least move to a peck on the cheek.
As Sahira moves in to kiss his cheek, Greg shifts so that their lips touch.
This was your scam. I'm innocent.
We need a scapegoat.
There's a security guard waiting outside. You have 5 minutes to collect your things.
Mum, you're not going to die. This is not happening.
Come on.
I'm not ready.
You're going to convince the powers that be to give this place FT status.
And if I fail?
That'd make you captain of the Titanic.
Hanson is standing in a stairwell, gazing out of the window as Elizabeth arrives at the hospital, accompanied by Chantelle.
You have missed so much. Mr. Barty died, and word is Mr. Spencer's been given the boot.
Really?
Letitia from the T-bar was saying that she thinks he might have been arrested, but I don't think he actually did anything illegal, did he? He is quite feminine looking, though, so I won't fancy his chances in prison. And at first, Mr. Hanson was on the telly all the time, like giving interviews, but no one's seen him for ages. Tish thinks he might have done a runner. What do you think? Hello? Earth calling Elizabeth.
Sorry, what were you saying?
Still no word from the fifth floor.
I imagine the spin machine's in overdrive, especially since the man responsible is still AWOL.
You really think we can blame all this on Michael Spence?
I came this close to losing my job, Rick. Our department was almost closed, finding it hard to feel sorry for the man. Have you heard from him?
He's holed up in Florida with his mum and dad, licking his wounds. He's called the kids a couple of times.
He's going to have to face the music at some point, isn't he?
Well, let's hope that Hanson has some kind of master plan.
Given the way things are looking, I don't see how even he can dig us out of this one.
Hey, Elliot.
Hi. Have you heard anything?
Why would I know anything more than you?
Well, I just thought since you and Hanson were...
I'm in the same boat as everyone else. The only information I'm getting is from what I read in the papers.
Well, if you ask me, this is just the latest in a long line of insults from this hospital's management.
I'm sure Hanson's got everything under control.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
Hey.
Greg looks uncomfortable.
You've got a cardiac trauma case coming in, ETA 5 minutes.
Okay, I'll be right there.
Greg moves off but looks back at Sahira. Hanson finds Anderson sitting in his office chair.
Henrik.
You're aware there's a perfectly good waiting area just along the corridor, are you, Sir Fraser?
I've done enough waiting today already. Our meeting was supposed to start 15 minutes ago.
I apologise. I had to perform my ward round. I am still a physician, first and foremost, after all.
No, you're not.
Oh?
As far as I'm concerned, your patients are entirely irrelevant at the moment.
I see.
You are director of surgery at the flagship hospital of my SHA. A hospital which is currently in the midst of a major scandal. You have one job, and one job only, and that is to dig us out of this hole.
I'm working on it. How exactly? The inner machinations of a hospital are mysterious and complex, as with any delicate surgery, once the cancer is removed.
The steer I'm getting from the Department of Health is that they want to see action, not rhetoric.
Well, what do you suggest?
I'm not suggesting anything. I'm telling you. They're sending in a turnaround team.
Cluster of Jobsworths in cheap suits telling me how to run my hospital.
I'm not sure you're in a position to take the moral high ground.
When are they coming?
They're waiting in the boardroom.
So if Hanson gets a sack,
which he won't.
In the world of hospital management, the higher you climb, the harder you fall.
He'd be fine.
But if not, I think I have a chance at his job.
No, I'm not tall enough.
I'll wear heels. There's something different about you today.
I don't think so.
Eddie has had a new, closely cropped pixie-style haircut. Sahira joins Greg, waiting in the ambulance bay outside the entrance.
What do we know?
16-year-old boy attacked, stabbed several times, arrested in transit.
Right.
Guess it's not here yet.
Doesn't look like it.
Should be here in a minute. So, how have you been?
Oh, all right, you?
Yeah, same.
Good.
Look, Sahira, are we going to talk about...
Greg.
The ambulance arrives and they open the back doors.
Right, who have we got?
Moses. His name is Moses. You have to help him. Yeah? He's been stabbed.
Right, Moses, I'm a Shah. We're going to take good care of you. There's no pulse. We're going to have to shock him. Are you a friend?
He's my baby brother.
Charging 200.
He's going to be okay, huh?
We need you to stand back.
Is he going to be okay?
Stand clear. No output.
What's your name?
Gabriel.
Pneumothorax on the left. Trachea's deviated. Give me a cannula.
Please, you have to help me, man. They've stabbed him.
Listen, Gabriel, I need you to calm down.
Stop compressions.
Gabriel looks despairing.
I've got rhythm now. Let's get him out of here quick.
The trolley is pulled out of the back of the ambulance.
Stop! We've lost output. Again, let's just get him into Darwin, quick!
Hansen and Anderson enter a boardroom.
Morning. I trust I haven't kept you waiting too long.
Mr. Hansen, I presume.
Indeed you do.
I'm Hugo Black. These my colleagues, Angela Murray, Nick Hewitt.
Well, Mr. Black, I won't waste your time. The man responsible for our present fiasco is Mr. Sunil Bharti, but unfortunately for us, he had the ill grace to die a week ago, so there's very little point in...
I heard about Mr. Bharti. My condolences.
None needed, I assure you.
And where is Michael Spence now?
He's suspended pending the hearing in 2 weeks' time, a hearing which I am certain will absolve the hospital trust of any responsibility.
So you don't feel responsible for what happened?
I take responsibility for everything that happens within these four walls, but blame and responsibility are two very different things, aren't they?
It's okay, Mr. Hansen. We're a little like undertakers. No one's ever pleased to see us. But I assure you, we have no ulterior motives. We're not out to get you. From what I hear, you run a very tight ship. Now, you understand why we're here. Your application for Foundation Trust status is now officially on hold. So we have to make absolutely sure the plastic scandal was just a one-off. Are part of a systematic failure of governance. Now, we'll interview a few people, we'll look at your books, chat to some patients. Nothing sinister.
Before you begin searching for weapons of mass destruction, might I be allowed to address my staff?
By all means.
Thank you. If someone's about to be scrutinized, it seems only fair to warn them.
You need to take things very easy for a while. No lifting, no running about, no driving. No strenuous activity at all for a couple of months at least. And it may be some time before you're feeling yourself again, but I think you'll be okay to leave us this afternoon.
This afternoon?
You sound disappointed.
No, of course not. I'm just... Well, when I was brought in here, I was in such pain. I was preparing myself for the worst.
Well, with a combined hysterectomy and bowel resection, it's complex. But I'm very pleased with how you're doing. I expect you prefer to recuperate at home.
Yes, of course.
I'll be back later to sort out the paperwork. Elizabeth, I didn't expect to see you back so soon.
2 weeks compassionate leave, that's what they give you.
You could have taken as long as you needed.
Oh, no, that was long enough.
You don't think it's too soon to...
No, I'm fine.
Oh, it's very good to have you back.
It's good to be back.
Nurse? Are you terribly busy?
No, not yet.
I mean, I was wondering, I've been cooped up in here all week, and now that Mr. Griffin's given me the all clear, I'd really love some fresh air.
Please be aware that during the course of today, Holby General is to be the subject of a full and thorough examination by an independent turnaround team who've been tasked with conducting a thorough examination into the way this hospital is run. I would urge you to get on with your work and answer their questions openly and honestly. As you know, we've no reason to be anything other than proud of the way we conduct ourselves here. I know these are uncertain times at Holby, but as your director of surgery, I'd ask you to put your trust in my leadership. I've never failed you yet, and I'm not about to fail you now.
Chantelle pops into a bathroom to apply a slick of lip gloss.
Everything okay?
Yep.
She approaches a cubicle.
Are you sure?
I said so, didn't I?
Chantelle climbs onto a toilet and looks down at the neighbouring occupant with a puzzled expression, then raises her eyebrows.
Is it in?
Not good. 3 cracked ribs lower left and the echo shows mitral regurgitation.
Poor kid, he's a bit of a mess.
I think we should get a GS view.
Our page right.
Thanks.
Elliot.
Miss Hannah, we have a mitral regurgitation.
Hi, Elliot. Thanks for coming so quickly. I need a second opinion. Can we repair the valve?
I'd say we're looking at a replacement. At the spleen. Have you paged Keller?
Rick's on his way.
Given the trauma damage, he's lucky to be still here. Have you spoken to the parents?
There's a brother. He brought him in.
Right. Let me know when Rick gets here.
Okay, thanks.
Sahira smiles at Gabriel, who's gazing in through the window. In the bathroom.
I'm really sorry, but I thought you might have been having a bit of bother. People have died in that cubicle before now. And how was I meant to know?
Even nuns have to change their underwear.
She's stayed in the hospital with you this whole time.
I told her I'd be well looked after, there's no need, but she insisted.
She must really care about you.
She's looking so uncomfortable, squashed in that chair every night. Aren't you going to answer that?
Sorry, it's my personal phone. I shouldn't even really have it on me.
I won't tell anyone.
Hello?
So you've lived there since you were 18?
That's right.
And how old are you now?
26.
So for 8 years you've lived with a load of nuns? No men, no telling, nothing.
We have a great deal. Not in material terms, perhaps.
How often do they let you out?
We're a closed order, so seldom. Only for hospital treatment.
What about birthdays? Christmas, though, yeah?
No.
Oh, so you don't get to spend Christmas with your family?
The convent's my family.
That's so sad.
Where is she?
Who?
Sister John.
Elizabeth's patient.
Well, I'm just at work, so I can try and get over in my lunch hour. Thanks. Bye. Sorry.
Why should I mind? Sounded important.
No, it's just family stuff.
Do you have a garden here?
Sort of. It's not...
I'm not bothered. I just want to be around people.
Well, I can't be off the ward for too long.
5 minutes. Think of it as medicine for your patient. How is this not going to seem completely bizarre?
Why should it be?
Because I've run AAU. I've been the ward sister there. Now I've got to kowtow to someone who's only been here 5 minutes.
You don't have to kowtow to her.
She's assessing me for my emergency medicine module. If she fails me on this rotation...
Why should she?
Prove a point. To assert her seniority over me.
You're a professional. All you have to do is show her how good you are at your job.
I don't get her.
What's to get? Just give her a chance and maybe she'll give you a chance.
Yeah, you're right.
I'll come by and pick you up at 5:30 sharp.
What if I'm not done?
You'll have to be. We're meeting the vicar, remember? He's a busy man. We don't want to get on the wrong side of God, do we? You're a professional.
I'm a professional.
As Sahira leaves Moses's room, Gabriel hurries up to her, looking anxious.
Is it going to be okay?
Gabriel, take a seat. Please. Your brother is in a bad way. He has several fractured ribs. There's major damage to his heart and spleen.
He will not die. You will not let him die.
We need a number for your parents.
Trust me. I am responsible for Moses. Me. I don't see you doing anything. He's just lying here.
Gabriel, we have to get a team together to talk about how we're going to proceed.
We have to leave. Soon.
We're doing everything we can.
So, what are you going to tell this turnaround team?
About what?
Michael, Sunil.
I'll tell them the truth, that they kept themselves, that I hardly had anything to do with them. I was focused on the cardiac trauma unit.
You think they'll buy that?
Why wouldn't they? Look, we all have to play the game here, Valentine. We all have a lot to lose. If you're smart, you'll do the same.
So tell me, Miss Naylor, do you have faith in this hospital's leadership?
Of course.
Even though as a cardiothoracic surgeon, the trust's decision to prioritise plastics threatened your job and your department?
To be honest, I kept my head down and focused on my work.
Did you think the plastics unit was a good idea?
Not especially.
What about the cardiac trauma unit?
I backed it.
Why?
Because I thought it was a good idea. And since it was Miss Shah's brainchild, I thought there was a better chance of Hanson backing it.
Oh, really? Why would that be?
Sister John.
Look at it all. All these people living their lives. You seem like an awfully serious girl. The weight of the world on your shoulders.
Do I? Sorry.
And you need to stop apologising. What have you got to apologise for? Oh, look at those two. The joy they can find from such a simple thing. One forgets. The lightness of being a child, the freedom. It's been such a very long time since I watched children playing.
Do you have children?
No. Broke my mother's heart, I think. She longed to be a grandmother. I wonder sometimes what sort of a mother I'd have made.
I think you would have made a great mother.
Why do you say that?
You look like a kind person.
Looks can be deceptive. I wonder if I might ask you a favour.
Of course.
Do you think I could borrow your phone?
I'll give her a fair hearing and everything. I just know she's not going to be my kind of woman.
Oh, because why?
Because she's all lip gloss and heels and perfectly coiffed hair.
Oh, that's what's different. You had a haircut.
Let's see.
No touching. It's a very bold statement.
It's just a haircut, Frida.
Well, did you get sick of the helmet head? Were you intimidated by the princess, you know, holding your own and all?
Yeah, whatever. She doesn't intimidate me, not a bit.
Ready.
Chrissy, hi.
You've had a haircut.
Are you?
Yeah, well.
See you.
Thanks.
So, emergency medicine, big module.
Certainly is.
It's a challenge.
I know.
Of course you do. You probably know this world better than I do.
Well.
Cards on the table. Okay, this is a bit of an awkward situation for both of us. But we're professional, and I will assess you just as I would any other nurse.
I wouldn't expect anything less.
Great. Oh, good luck.
Thanks.
Oh, looks like you got your first assessment of the day.
This is Jamie Matthews. He's 40 years old. He fell off his bike on the way to work this morning, which resulted in temporary loss of consciousness. ED cleared his C-spine. No significant injuries.
Mr. Matthews, I'm Chrissy Williams.
I'm Eddie McKee, senior staff nurse.
Secondary survey was normal. Oh, he had an episode of collapse with hypertension. And he's in further investigation. Very hard.
Listen to me.
Facial sutures. Yep. Enjoy.
Sister Williams is going to be taking care of you, okay, Chrissy?
Yeah,
fine.
One.
Right, Mr. Matthews, just try and stay calm for me. Take a nice deep breath.
Will someone please give me my damn phone?
Okay, I better call Keller Theatre.
No, hang on, Rick. We have to do the heart first. He has severe mitral regurg. He can't wait a moment longer. Once he's stable...
Elliot, with all due respect, if we don't remove the spleen right now, he's going to bleed to death.
And if we don't replace the heart valve right now with the pressure from the spleen, the severe regurgitation will almost certainly result in heart failure.
Good morning. Looks like we're just in time. Perhaps you'd like to reassure Mr. Black it's not usual for your consultants to be bickering on the ward like this.
This is hardly bickering.
Cardio versus general, the age-old divide, eh? Always a challenge to get all your disciplines playing on the same team, isn't it, Mr. Hanson?
Heart or spleen? Which would you do first?
Right. Well, the patient was admitted with 5 stab wounds and multiple bruising.
If we start with the heart first, there's a very good chance he'll fatally exsanguinate within minutes.
Thank you.
Yes, but on the other hand, if we remove the spleen, heart failure seems inevitable.
My point exactly.
Understandably, neither of you two gentlemen want to be responsible for causing this young man's death, but if we leave him lying there, he'll be dead soon anyway.
Why aren't you doing something? Why are you all just standing there, talking? Four doctors and none of you want to help him.
And who are you to this patient?
I'm his brother.
I see. Well, this young man is quite right. There's an obvious solution. You will operate together. Darwin 1, as soon as we can, please.
Sure, that's fabulous.
A very ambitious procedure. Perhaps you'd care to watch, Mr. Black.
If that's acceptable to you, Mr. Hansen.
Yeah. See you on the ice.
Elizabeth and Sister John are in the lift.
I think he was rather surprised to hear from me after all these years. His long-lost cousin, Valerie. But he's going to drive down and collect me. I'll need some clothes to go home in.
What about the ones you were wearing when you came in?
Not really suitable, I'm afraid. I'd not anymore.
Well, I have to pop out at lunchtime. Maybe I could pick you up some things. You let me know what sort of thing you like and size.
Would you? I'd appreciate that more than I can say.
What sort of thing would you like?
I'll leave that up to you.
Colour?
Always like green.
And what size?
Not really sure.
I think you're about 12. Is everything okay?
No, it's not. I've lost a nun.
A what?
A nun. You know, black and white, climb every mountain. Sister Anne's been going loopy and I've looked everywhere.
Sister?
Sister John, where have you been?
I fancied some air, that's all.
It's nothing serious. I got into a bike versus lorry situation and I took a bit of a tumble.
Mr. Matthews, could you keep still, please?
They're going to just patch me up and then I'll be right on over.
Mr. Matthews.
I'll call you back. Will this take long?
It'll take as long as it takes. Now, this blackout you had, was it the first time?
I wouldn't even call it a blackout. I lost concentration for a moment, that's all.
Has it happened before?
I don't know. Possibly, probably.
Could you be a little more specific?
It's never happened before, OK? Now, if you could just patch me up so that I don't look quite so much like roadkill, I really need to get going.
Is there anyone you want me to call for you?
Thanks, but my hand and my mouth both seem to be in good working order still.
Mr. Matthews, there's no need to be rude. You blacked out on your bike in the middle of a busy junction, and quite frankly, you're very lucky to be alive. It's probably in your best interest to let me find out why this happened.
All right. Run your tests, do what you got to do, but please...
Chrissy heads over to the desk.
Nicely handled. Polite yet firm.
Not my first jumped up city boy trying to act tough. Who's that?
Angel of Death. Part of the turnaround team, apparently. She's going to be lurking around all day.
Special delivery for Sister Williams.
What's that?
Wedding cake samples.
I have no idea why that was delivered here. I'll put it in the staff room.
That's probably a good idea.
Hansen.
A high-risk procedure is not the best idea for a showcase, I feel. Doubting your team, Mr. Hansen?
Ah, Mr. Black, welcome. Save your front row seat.
I could certainly do without the audience. This whole circus is just cleaning up Michael Spence's mess. Next time he calls to speak to the kids, maybe you could pass on a message from me.
And what would that be?
I wouldn't like to say in front of a lady.
Come on, guys. We can do it. I know we can.
Jamie's on the phone.
I'm just running the numbers again now, and as long as the dad doesn't do anything silly, we should be full steam ahead.
So what's the score with Mr. Bye-bye Cell Cell?
Echo's done. Waiting on X-ray and cardiac enzyme results. I booked him in for a CT scan.
Have you given any more pain relief?
Yeah, 5 milligrams of morphine.
Dopamine?
Yeah.
Textbook.
Thanks.
And I see he's just finishing an ortho consult.
Yes.
Well, Dan's an orthopaedic consultant. You paged him. I don't see anything wrong with that.
Great. What do you think?
Actually, I was after your opinion first.
Mine?
Yes. The big decision. Chocolate or coffee sponge? Or maybe lemon drizzle?
You sent that box here on purpose.
You're welcome. But it might ease things in with your new colleagues. and crucially help you make that important bridal decision.
I'm not a bride, not while I'm here. I'm a sister. I'm a sister who's trying to be a nurse practitioner.
Right. Understood. He's not broken anything, by the way. Your patient?
Thank you.
Chrissy looks uncomfortable when she realizes that Eddie has been listening in. In surgery, Rick has just removed Moses' spleen. Hansen, Anderson and Hugo are observing.
What's he doing now?
Mr. Griffin, I wonder would you care to explain what it is you're doing right now?
I'm trying to save this boy's life.
Well, Mr. Griffin has successfully removed the spleen. He's now preparing to close the incision. Once this has been accomplished, the patient will be placed on a heart-lung machine, and then Mr. Hope and Miss Shah will begin work on the mitral valve.
That's impressive stuff.
Anderson gives a thin-lipped smile.
What's happening?
He's arresting.
He's having a heart attack.
BT, he's got a pulse of only just. Paddles, please!
He's hypertensive.
Get out of my way, please. Get out of my way!
No pulse. 20 milligrams of potassium and 50 milligrams of lignocaine. He could be hypervolemic.
Give me those, please.
There's no need.
Now, Mr. Hope. Charge to 200. Clear. Keep the compressions going. Charge again. 200. Clear. I will not let this man die. Charge 200 again. Clear. Thank you, everyone. Continue, please.
Anderson gives Hugo a wary look.
This is a complete waste of time.
We need to find out exactly what's wrong with you.
I told you, there's nothing wrong with me.
Clearly something's wrong with you, otherwise you wouldn't have blacked out.
I'm tired, okay? That's all it is. I've been working incredibly long hours lately.
You need to eliminate...
Eliminate what?
I have concerns that it's something to do with your heart.
It isn't. I don't smoke.
Doesn't necessarily mean...
I cycle to work.
Let's do the tests.
I don't touch red meat.
And then we'll
I
know.
Hardly touch alcohol.
Right. Mr. Matthews, I know you want to get out of here. Everyone wants to get out of here. And we are doing everything to help you get out of here. But if I let you leave now, I wouldn't be doing my job.
So you really care about your job, hmm?
Yes, I do.
Then maybe you'll understand the fact that I've been working 20 hours a day for the last 10 months to put together a deal which will net the company I work for £23 million and guarantee I make partner before I turn 41. Now, the culmination of all this is in a little over 2 hours when I have the most important meeting of my career, so do whatever you have to do because I need to get out of here as soon as possible.
You're back!
So it would seem.
About time. I've been waiting to go on lunch for ages. My stomach's eating itself. I'm so hungry. I was thinking about swallowing my gum.
Sorry, I had to get a few things for Sister John.
Chantelle looks in a bag.
You went clothes shopping for a nun?
Yeah.
Weird, this job sometimes, innit? You all right?
Yeah. Why wouldn't I be?
Chantelle breezes out, leaving Elizabeth looking preoccupied. She puts a large white envelope into her locker and shuts the door. Gabriel's waiting for her when Sahira goes into Moses' room.
How is he?
We removed his spleen, but there were complications with his heart.
Heart attack? No. No, you were supposed to help him.
It was touch and go for a while, but we were able to fix his heart and there's every chance he'll be fine now. Gabriel, how did this happen?
I don't know. We live in a rough estate. It happens, I guess.
Perhaps you should talk to the police about it.
No.
There's nothing to be scared of. They'll help you. They'll find who did this.
No!
Okay.
As Sahira heads out, Greg sees her, then follows her into an office.
How are they doing?
Oh, not good, either of them.
Listen.
There's no need.
You don't even know what I was going to say.
We both thought this place was closing down. It was just a weird time.
Yeah. Pretty weird.
But that was last week. No point dwelling on it now. It's probably best that we forget it ever happened, right?
Yeah. Exactly what I was going to say.
Good.
Greg heads out, looking disappointed, and Zahira watches him go. Anderson is with Hansen in his office.
What the hell happened in theatre?
I'm a surgeon. I operate to help patients. I'm not your dancing monkey.
I've always thought of you as the steadiest pair of hands I know. I've seen you take on hospitals that are falling apart and turn them round in 6 months. Up until a week ago, I'd have said your judgment was perfect.
Well, I had huge reservations about Mr. Barty's plastics unit from the start, and unless you've completely forgotten, it was you who persuaded me against my better judgment.
Don't try and shift the blame onto me. I spent most of the week defending you.
I don't need you to fight my battles for me, thank you.
Actually, I think you do at this precise moment in time.
What do you actually know about running a hospital?
Excuse me?
Well, when all's said and done, you're a businessman, aren't you, in rubber-soled shoes, and this place is a sort of commodity to you like any other, like coal or steel or railways.
If this was a commodity like any other, I'd be breaking it into pieces and selling it off.
We both know the way the SHAs are going. You need this to work as much as I do. A fourth hospital to Foundation Trust status, that would look good on your CV, and Lord Anderson has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? A few non-executive boardroom positions, perhaps.
This is not about my future, Henrik. It's about yours.
Oh?
If this hospital fails, then you fail. You are Holby General. You'll be forever remembered as the man who screwed this place up, who lost the confidence of his staff.
I have the full backing of my staff.
Are you sure about that? What I saw today suggests otherwise. Even your beloved Miss Shah seems to have lost her faith in you.
Good afternoon.
Hansen walks to his window and is apparently gazing out of it when Anderson gives him a disapproving look before heading out of the office. Hugo.
Right, I see. So you brought the idea of cardiac trauma to Mr. Hansen?
Yes.
And what did he say?
Well, at first he wasn't convinced.
Really? What changed his mind?
I'm not sure. I did threaten to take it elsewhere.
So he gave you a £500,000 trial as a way of persuading you to stay?
I like to think he saw the merit in the project.
You worked together before?
Yes.
At other hospitals?
Yes. We've worked together on and off for 16 years.
And how would you describe Mr. Hansen?
I've known Mr. Hansen for a long time, a very long time, and if I'm honest, I'm still trying to figure out who he is.
Sister Anne.
I've spoken to Mr. Griffin. He thinks you'll be discharged by about 5:30. So I'll order a taxi for 6:00.
Sister Anne.
I've spoken to the convent. They're so happy to hear how well everything's gone. I think you'll get a warm welcome tonight.
Sister Anne.
Yes.
What if I didn't go back?
You've been in the convent your whole life?
Not quite. Since I was 19.
Perhaps it's time for you to get dressed, Sister John. I can help.
Valerie.
What?
That's my name.
No. That was your name.
I got those things you asked for.
What things? Sister John?
Sister Anne snatches the bag and empties it out on the bed. She looks shocked to see items of clothing in different shades of green.
I don't understand.
Now, Sister Anne.
Is this some sort of joke?
Please, listen to me.
Are you making fun of her?
No, of course not.
I asked her to get me these clothes.
Why would you do a thing like that? Why?
Realization dawns.
I don't believe it. It's not true.
I've been trying to tell you.
You just lie still, but breathe normally.
Just get on with it, will you?
Let me know if you can feel comfortable.
Chrissy, Eddie told me you're here.
You spoke to Eddie?
I just wanted to apologise for earlier.
That's fine.
No, it's not. It was idiotic, and I'm really sorry. I'm really excited about the wedding, but sometimes I get a bit carried away.
It's all right. I've got to get back to my patient. Eddie's expecting us back shortly.
I just wanted to say, here's the deal. From now on, I leave the wedding locked in the car boot when we arrive in the morning. No more cakes at work. Promise.
Great.
Right.
Jamie has climbed down from the CT machine.
Jamie, what are you doing?
I don't have time for this. You had your chance. I have to go.
1 minute he was okay, the next minute he was up on his feet doing it. You lost a patient. I didn't lose him, he discharged himself. You know that.
Well, the result's the same. It happens to every nurse from time to time.
It's never happened to me.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry. It's not great, is it?
Sister Anne.
This cousin, he won't want you living with him for long, you know that.
He says I can stay there as long as I need, till I get myself settled, established.
You hardly know this man.
He's family.
Not anymore. You made a vow. We are your family now.
I don't expect you to understand any of this.
You don't know how to survive outside the convent.
I can learn.
Don't you think you should let her make her own decisions?
Don't you think you've done enough harm already?
She's only done what I asked.
You shouldn't have spoken to her. You should have spoken to me. You're interfering in things you don't understand.
Well, why can't you just let her live her own life?
Elizabeth realises Rick has heard her raised voice.
60p.
Hey, Dr. Valentino. How's life up on cardio?
Oh, you know, same old, same old.
Ginger Ninja giving you hell?
Not at all. She's a pussycat.
Not to worry, mate. We've all been there. You won't be an F2 forever.
Can I have that in writing?
Can I have some help, please? Can I have some help?
Jamie has collapsed.
In a way, it's good to see you standing up for your patient like that.
It was unprofessional of me.
If you're going to say you're sorry, I don't want to hear it.
Well, I am. Sorry.
You say it so often that it ceases to have any meaning.
You're not the first person to say that to me today.
What is this really about, Elizabeth?
The way Sister Anne talks to Sister John, it's disrespectful.
And what is this really about?
She treats her like a child, and she's not. She's a warm, funny, and kind woman.
Do you think perhaps you have come back to work too soon?
You've asked me that already.
Yes, and I'm asking you again.
Why? You think I'd be better off sitting at home watching TV? What is compassionate leave? What am I supposed to do with it?
Elizabeth, you've lost your grandmother and your mother in quick succession. You need time to grieve.
Thank you, Mr. Griffin.
Elizabeth!
I got a phone call this morning from my grandmother's solicitor. I went to see him at lunchtime.
And?
She left me everything in her will. Everything. They think it's about £50,000. I told the solicitor I can't take it.
Why?
Because I don't deserve it.
Hang on in there, fella. Try and slow your breathing down. Cheers.
Jamie.
You keeled over trying to hail a cab.
Day three. Well, that didn't take very long, did it? Jamie, it's Chrissy. Can you hear me? Let's get the crash team down there.
You can't just leave on a whim.
It's not a whim.
It's this place. It's unsettled you.
I've been thinking about this for a very long time. Months. Maybe even years.
You never said anything.
Not to you, perhaps.
You've spoken to other people. Why not me?
I knew it would upset you. I didn't want to, not till I'd finally decided.
And when did you finally decide? Before you came in here?
All I know is it's the right thing for me.
You gave your life to Jesus.
Yes. And he's given me an unexpected blessing, this extra time. I've served him for 40 of my 59 years. I think he'd understand. It was Mr. Griffin. When he told me this morning I could go home, it all became clear.
The convent's your home?
Not anymore. When I left to come into hospital, I knew in my heart I'd never return.
Look, we'll pray together. We'll pray for guidance.
It won't change anything now.
And when will your cousin be here?
Probably not till later.
How will I manage without you?
You'll do just fine.
You're the closest thing to a mother I've ever known.
I know.
I think I need some fresh air now.
Elliot is with Hugo Black.
I don't think any of us actually believe that it would happen until it did. Our cardiothoracic unit is world class. We're all enormously proud of it. It seemed unthinkable that it would be demolished.
Why do you think the hospital's management prioritised the plastics unit over the cardiothoracic department?
Well, that depends on whether you want the official party line version or the truth.
How about both?
Officially, dedicated cardiothoracic units are seen as anachronistic in the modern NHS.
And the truth?
Always comes down to the same thing in the end. Money.
How do you find Mr. Hansen?
I think I would describe Mr. Hansen as challenging.
Hansen looks up from some work and crosses to the office window to investigate the cause of the thudding noise. He looks down and sees a dead bird lying on the sill. His beeper sounds, and he glances at the message, then makes a sedate exit. Moses's bed is empty.
How did this happen?
I don't know. One minute they were there, and then the next...
Who knows about it?
Just you and me.
Well, let's keep it that way, shall we? If any of the so-called turnaround team find out that a critically ill patient was smuggled off one of the wards in broad daylight, I mean, if he's alive, it'll be a miracle. Any idea where they might have gone?
No.
Better get looking, then.
Hansen walks to the lift, then pauses when he sees fresh blood dripping down the button. Hugo Black comes round the corner and spots him.
Mr. Hansen.
Yes.
Everything okay?
Yes, fine, thank you.
The lift doors open, revealing that the floor is smeared with blood. Hansen and Hugo step inside. Sister Anne walks to Sister John's cubicle with a determined stride. Elizabeth is hovering nearby.
I've been thinking. And if you're really set on leaving, then I'm coming with you.
She removes her wimple. Hansen and Hugo are following a trail of blood along a dimly lit and seemingly rarely used corridor. They find Gabriel kneeling beside his brother's prone body.
Get away from me!
It's all right.
No, don't come any closer! What are you doing?
I'm just going to call for urgent medical assistance and then I'm going to call security.
No, don't call anyone!
Please, calm down for your brother's sake. Would you please just let me examine him? Thank you. Right, let's see. All right. Well, he is bleeding out very rapidly. He's not going to last more than 10 minutes down here.
So help him.
I can't help him. You've pulled out his chest drains. Moving him was an entirely idiotic thing to do.
Fix him!
You need to let us get help or your brother is going to die.
No.
What exactly is it you're scared of? Tell me.
We are illegal. If they knew that we were still here, in this country, they would send us home. And if they send us home...
Moses' head lolls to the side.
We're losing him.
We need to get him to a ward.
If we move him, he's going to die.
I'll get you dressings, sutures and a new drain.
Right, wet lab, down there on the left. Thank you.
Please, this isn't the right thing for you.
How do you know?
Because I know you. I know what your vocation means to you.
There's more than one way to serve God.
Your way is in the convent.
I've been thinking it all through. I've prayed. It's obvious. We can live together.
No, child, no.
I'll get a job.
Before long, you...
I'll look after you.
You'd start to hate me.
I could never hate you. I just want to serve you.
But I don't need anyone to serve me. Why do you think I didn't tell you until I'd finally made up my mind? Because I knew it would unsettle you. This is my path, Sister Anne. but not yours.
You don't want me to come with you?
No, I don't. I have to do this for myself, on my own.
You don't want me?
I can't take responsibility for your soul, only for my own.
As Sister Anne frowns at her in confusion, Sister John picks up a small, well-worn copy of the Bible.
My mother gave me this the day of my first Holy Communion. I've had it since I was 8 years old.
No.
Please take it.
No.
It's all I have to offer.
I don't want it. I don't want your offering.
As she stalks off, Elizabeth looks concerned. In the corridor.
Mr. Hanson.
Ah, good. Thank you. You seem to know what you're doing, Mr. Black.
Ah, just 15 years as a nurse in A&E.
I see.
5 mil anaesthetic.
Thank you.
Hanson injects Moses, then takes a tube.
Good, thank you.
Hanson uses his finger to widen an incision in Moses' side, then feeds the tube through. Blood starts to drain out.
Must be desperate risking your brother's life like this.
Sometimes it's hard to trust anyone but yourself, isn't it?
Moses stirs.
Pulse is back.
You saved him.
Hanson looks up at Gabriel, and his lips twitch into a very slight smile. Sister John is staring at the clothes Elizabeth gave her when the nurse comes over.
Does it shock you to see someone like me doing something so selfish?
I don't think it's selfish.
Yes, it is. I'm doing this for my own happiness at the expense of someone else's. And she's quite right, of course. The convent is my home. And you don't just walk away from your home, do you?
I did.
Why?
Because I had to.
And do you regret it?
I hurt people very badly. My mother, my grandmother. I regret that. I think I always will.
May I ask how old you are, Elizabeth?
I'm 24.
And if you could do anything with your life, anything at all, what would you do?
I'm doing it. This is my vocation.
And if you woke up tomorrow and 40 years had gone by and you were still here, still wearing the same uniform, still performing the same tasks?
I think I'd...
Elizabeth is lost for words, and Sister John smiles at her.
It was very kind of you to go out and buy me these clothes. Thank you.
Elizabeth nods and smiles, but as she turns away, she's looking pensive. Jamie is tapping on his mobile phone when Chrissy comes to his bedside.
Have you heard how the meeting went?
It's happening right now. Either way, it's the end of the road for me. Either fall apart in the room or be someone else's triumph, someone else making partner.
We've got your test results back. You do have a heart condition. So we're going to take you up to Darwin. It's the
coronary artery disease.
You knew?
Lucky guess. He was a year older than I am now. I was 12 at the time. Didn't really know him. My dad was always bloody working right up until the day he died.
Are you sure there's no one I can call for you?
I'm 40 years old. And what do I have to show for it?
What about your mum?
I haven't called her for months. Been too busy. Hardly call her now with all of this.
I've got a son. It's only a baby, but No matter how old. The thought of him being ill and me not knowing.
Jamie looks thoughtful for a moment, then gives a slight smile.
I'll get you a number.
Chrissy moves away, leaving him with his thoughts. Elizabeth comes down some stairs and finds Sister Anne sitting on a step.
Suppose you think I'm being stupid.
Oh.
Well, I do. I think I'm being stupid.
Can't be easy.
I've taken my vows. I'm married to Jesus. I shouldn't need anyone else. I don't need anyone else. I'll manage.
She wouldn't be doing this if she didn't feel she had to.
Thank you for your concern. It's kind of you to come and check up on me, but I would prefer to be on my own.
Elizabeth walks away, leaving Sister Anne looking tense. Hansen and Hugo stride side by side into Moses's recovery room.
Afternoon, gentlemen.
Hansen looks at a chart.
Very good.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. This is a telephone number of one of the country's top immigration lawyers. If you'd like to give him a ring, he will accept your call.
Okay.
I got into management out of frustration. I felt powerless.
No?
I think I feel even more powerless. At least as a nurse or a doctor, you can see the difference you're making. But in management, you have to deal with people like your boss, Sir Fraser. He's a symptom of everything that's wrong with this health service. Obviously, I didn't say that.
Obviously.
Off the record, you need to play the next 3 months very carefully.
3 months?
I'm going to recommend an extension to your FT status assessment. We'll provide an improvement plan and we'll be back in 3 months to reassess.
I see. Thank you, Mr. Black.
Good luck, Mr. Hansen.
As Hugo walks away, Hansen looks almost happy. When Sister Anne joins Sister John, the older woman has changed into the clothes Elizabeth gave her. Her flower-patterned blouse and bright green cardigan are in stark contrast to the drab grey worn by Sister Anne. With maternal tenderness, Sister John ties Sister Anne's wimple on for her.
There.
She kisses her forehead, and after a moment's hesitation, the two women hug.
Promise me you'll write.
Of course I will.
As they pull apart, Rick joins Elizabeth and sees that she's watching them. Sister John holds out the copy of the Bible her mother gave her, and Sister Anne accepts it. As she presses it to her chest, Sister John smiles affectionately.
I've been thinking. I'm going to accept the money. I'm going to take some more time off. Take a holiday. Get away.
Good decision.
Your mum's on her way in.
Thank you. And thank you for sorting me out.
For me, it is all about the coffee spoon.
Oh, you literally could not be more wrong. Lemon drizzle kicks coffee sponge's ass big time.
Look, I know you're just about to finish, but we've got an incoming from ED. Abdominal pains, query appendicitis. It'd be a great opportunity for your module. I can authorise overtime if you want.
Yeah, great.
But I can't. I've got family commitments. We don't want to get on the wrong side of God, do we?
Chrissy heads out with Dan.
Hi,
imagine you'll want to set up a multidisciplinary steering committee to...
Actually, I'm going to stop you there, Sir Fraser. There will be no committees, there will be no meetings, there will be no striving for consensus, as you so eloquently put it. I am Holby General.
I'm afraid you've lost me.
Well, if I'm going to save this hospital, I intend to do so entirely on my own terms.
Right.
I intend to take full and absolute control.
Hanson dictates an email.
Until further notice, all allocations of all resources, and I emphasize all allocations of all resources, are to be personally signed off by myself. Full and thorough inventory of current medical supplies and equipment will be compiled by every department and submitted to my office forthwith. All clinical decisions other than emergency surgery must be referred to my office for authorization. Theatre schedules and staff rotas will need to be approved on a daily basis.
Is that workable?
Everything goes across my desk. Everything.
Hanson leans back in his chair, looking slightly overwhelmed by the enormity of the task ahead, but then is distracted by a faint sound outside his window. He crosses to it and looks moved at the sight of the bird, which is not quite dead, making an effort to quiver a wing.